I, Christy.
And me, Kelly.
And you're back joining us once again at Unnerved, a horror movie podcast.
Yeah, welcome. If you are new here, Christy and I talk about horror movie that we watch every other week and some fun facts and all that and our opinions and, you know.
Welcome. We're heavily opinionated.
Yes.
And we're covering Kelly's pick for sequels. That's our latest theme that we were doing. Kelly, what did you pick for us to watch?
So I picked Friday the 13th Part 2. And I picked this because we've covered Friday the 13th first movie
and
on this
remake.
Podcast and the remake on this podcast. Go and listen to those episodes. But I had never actually, I mean, minus the remake or whatever, requel or whatever you want to call it.
I say it's a remake of the first three smashed together.
And that's the thing. Like, I haven't seen, like, OG Jason. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, we should do OG Jason because I was considering this one or I think Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 because I wanted to see the Scream Queen in that. But I was like, no, we really should cover a Jason movie because I don't actually know Jason. I just know Mama Voorhees. So we covered this. And what a disappointment. I was like, the first movie, mind you, I'm not the biggest fan of. But in comparison to this one, that one should win an Oscar. Like, this is so bad. Every part of it is very bad.
I'd say 2 and 3 are, like, my bottom two Fridays.
They're bad. I mean, like, I do want to see the third one because the third one he gets his hockey mask. So then we get the iconic Jason look.
And then 4, 5, and 6 are actually pretty good if we follow a consistent character.
Which I'm kind of excited about. But this is gross. This is just, like, literally you could not watch it and you would not gain. You could skip it. And I don't think you would miss anything going into, like, the third movie.
No, just some kills that have less than stellar special effects because Tom Savini was not part of this one.
And
he comes back for
tell.
4.
Good, because, oh my gosh, the kills in this are not good. They're not even creative, you know?
There's a kill later on in the series where he has, like, a lady bundled up in a sleeping bag and whacks her against a tree.
Oh, that would be fun to watch.
Like, is just flinging her around in the sleeping bag and is whacking her against the tree.
The remake was the one where the sleeping bag got cooked on the inside, right?
Yeah.
Those deaths were better than whatever the heck was going on in this movie.
Well, this movie, it takes place 2 months after the first one. So let's get into our cast.
Yeah.
Kelly, hit us with the cast.
Amy Steele is it Ginny Field? Ginny? Yeah. I always never know if it's Ginny or Ginny. It's Ginny.
Ginny.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of anyone going by Ginny?
I don't know.
So no, it's
like,
Ginny.
You could go Ginny. That sounds like a nickname for a longer name. Anyway, whatever.
Gwendola.
Like, yeah, something like weird, like, it'd be like a Gwendolyn Ginny.
Oh, I hate it.
John Furrie is Paul Holt. Adrienne King is Alice Hardy. She's your original final girl from the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Stu Charno is Ted Bowen. Steve Deskowitz is Jason Voorhees. But Warrington Gillette is Jason Voorhees unmasked at the end. Warrington Gillette just sounds like a brand because
Gillette. I mean, Gillette. Yeah.
But anyways, Walt Gorney is Crazy Ralph. Marta Kober is Sandra Deer. Bill Randolph is Jeff Dunsbury. Tom McBride is Mark Jarvis. Lauren Marie Taylor is Vicky Perry. Kirsten Baker is Terry McCarthy. Russell Todd is Scott Chaney. Betsy Palmer, who makes her appearance as Pamela Voorhees. Cliff Cudney is Max. Jack Marks is Deputy Winslow, and it's directed by Steve Miner.
All right, so this movie, it's probably going to be a shorter episode, fair warning, there's not a lot of fun facts, we're just going to kind of shit on this movie, sorry in advance, if you are a diehard fan of Part 2 specifically.
I don't know why you would be.
3 performed the best in theaters, however, that was because at the time 3D was coming around.
Oh, it's popping off.
Yeah, so 3 has the 3D elements to
it. I'm not excited for that.
No. So, But, like, two and three are my least favorites. Mm-hmm. So, once we get past them, then they're kind of more fun.
Good, because this was painful.
This one was a little bit painful. So, 2 months after the first movie,
yeah,
we are revisiting Alice, the sole survivor, mm-hmm. who is experiencing a lot of trauma. She went through a lot of traumatic experiences.
And she decapitated a woman. I mean,
and she's fair. In her apartment.
And having a phone call with her mom, I think?
Yeah. So she goes to the refrigerator, her cat gets some food and everything like that, and she finds the severed head of Pamela Voorhees, and then she is murdered herself with mm-hmm. an ice pick.
Yep.
In the temple. By an unknown intruder.
Apparently, they didn't, like, script this, so this entire phone conversation was unscripted with their mom, and then there was an incident where the ice pick kind of hurt her a little bit, because I guess it wasn't as protected as it should have been.
This movie, so many people got fucking injured. Like, it's not even funny.
Well, I mean, based on the quality of everything else, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, props wasn't very good either.
There's a scene where Jason was supposed to, like, run through a glass window, mm-hmm. but the glass didn't break, and he went smack, he hit his head real hard on the glass.
It would have been low-key funny if it didn't actually hurt him, you know? Like a bird in a window.
Oh. Ow. Owie. But, like, even, and he also got, like, his hand sliced open with the machete.
Yeah.
And, like, the poor guy. Anyways. And now we're at the 5 years later point. Mm-hmm. Paul is opening up a school camp. A school for camp counselors on the shore of Camp Crystal Lake.
It's like not adjacent. Quite camp. Yeah, it's not quite Camp Crystal Lake. It's like
it's on the same lake.
Yes.
It's just not the known camp.
Yeah, it's different cabins, different campgrounds, same lake.
Yep.
Whatever.
And everybody shows up in attendance. Sandra, I think, is Big Tits McGee, and her boyfriend, Dollar Budget Kevin Bacon, mm-hmm. Scott, Terry, Mark, Vicky, Todd, Paul, all these honestly, people that you don't even need to know their names.
I don't remember their names. We just started calling them by different names.
Yes.
Like, I think one of them we called Yellow Picnic Basket because of his shirt. Like, it was not.
He's the ginger.
Yeah, he's cool, but it's just not good. It's yeah. just not good.
So, and we also meet Muffins, the puppo.
We do.
We get the first intro. We see, like, some of the couples around. We kind of know who's going with who throughout the movie.
Yeah, there's the same scene in the beginning with the Harbinger in the town. And copy-paste the ideas from the first.
Yes. Two is a copy carbon of the first one, but with Jason. And then three is a common carby of this one. But it's with 3D! And in, like, daylight.
This is mostly takes place at night.
Yeah.
In a thunderstorm.
Yeah. So, at night, they're around the campfire. They're telling the legend of Jason Voorhees, who drowned in 1957, vengeful mom, blah, 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 and how he's actually still, like, alive, like, legend has it, and he's now, like, hiding out in the woods and shit like that.
And then they also mention that Alice went missing 5 years ago. No one's found her, but they say he killed her. It's a whole thing.
They mention that she's dead. She's not missing.
Oh, I thought she was.
Nope.
Oh, yeah, they probably would have found a body, huh?
Yeah. I don't think Jason would be like, hey, you mine. No. That's, the shrine is only for Mommy Dearest.
Only
Mommy. That was aggressive, and I apologize. So, yeah, apparently he's still alive and blah, blah, blah. And so, Paul finishes the story and Picnic Basket jump scares everybody with his spear and an Indian mask and everything like this. But he reassures everyone that Jason is dead and the Camp Crystal Lake is just condemned and off limits, so don't go poking around over there. We're supposed to just stay in our camp.
Yeah. Which, that's an appropriate conversation to have, but also too late for them. Doesn't matter that they're campground adjacent. there nearby, and Jason does not see that is, like, not his stomping grounds, you know?
Yeah. Well, it kind of gets kicked off right now, because Crazy Ralph wanders onto the property to warn the group and everything, because he has to warn everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But, he gets killed.
Yeah.
By the unseen killer.
Jason. We know it's Jason.
I'm just reading what I have listed here from Wikipedia.
Yep, that's by an unseen killer. Y'all, we all know.
I mean, we don't see Jason, we just know it's Jason.
Low-key, but he's totally separate killer in the area at the time. Crazy Ralph.
Could you imagine? That'd be awesome.
That would be interesting.
That'd be twisty! The following day, Budget Bacon and...
Big Tit Girl.
And No Bra Big Tits McGee.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we're gonna go check out Camp Crystal Lake and, like, ignore what we were told.
Mm-hmm.
And they find Muffins.
But they don't know it's Muffin.
Yeah, they do. I'm pretty sure they... I mean, like, we know it's Muffins. Like, low-key they know? Yeah, like, it looks like Muffins.
It does. It's just that, I wonder what kind of animal is that? I'm like, y'all are freaking dumb.
I mean, if they
also,
just...
no one seems upset that this dog is missing.
I mean, no, there's that one track lady that goes out looking for Muffins.
Yeah, we called her Megan. We don't know what her name was, but she looked like
Megan! She's such a Megan.
Yeah, we have no idea. She's the one that went skinny dipping. It was her dog. But yeah. Look, if my dog hadn't come back, it had been like a full day since seeing Muffin.
I mean, we don't see her for the full day, so maybe she's out looking for Muffin
throughout
the day.
Could be.
And then they get caught by the good old deputy, and he returns them to camp, and he's like, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So they all kind of get a scolding. Back camp, Paul's the only one I fucking remember half the time. Because mm-hmm. he's blonde with bad haircut boy.
Oh, yes.
He's like, okay, whatever, like, they're not gonna do it again, and as for punishment, they don't get extra dessert or for whatever.
He kind of laughs it off in front of the sheriff, and the sheriff isn't having it. No. Because, I mean, fair. There were a lot of kids that died 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That's still fairly recent.
Yeah. So, those two, I believe, are excused.
And then we follow the sheriff goes back out, doesn't he?
Yeah, he goes back out there. Scott, I don't remember who Scott is, but he gets his throat slit. And good old deputy is chasing Jason through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
He done gets...
He finds his hovel. We do see Jason's home.
We get the outside of the hovel.
Yeah, well, he goes in, and then we see him open the door, which we find out later, to the shrine, but then he gets killed before we actually see what's inside.
Right, we'll see the shrine later on.
Yes.
So he gets murked. And so, let's see here. Terry gets killed off screen.
There's so many random...
Oh, Scott's the guy that gets the rope trap, so it kind of skips a bit here. So, we have Jeff and Sandra going off to have sexy times.
Well, yeah, that's after, so, like, right before that happens, Paul, the camp counselor guy, is like, one last night out on the town before we do all our shit tomorrow.
So, just him, Ginny, and Picnic Basket Ted.
They head out
to the bar. Everybody's kind of just hanging out. A lot of people are splitting off to go have sex.
Yes. And then this is when all that stuff goes down.
Yeah, Scott gets his throat slit after getting caught in a rope trap, and track girl is running around looking for help and all this shit.
Yeah, she's screaming. Pretty sure she dies pretty quick.
Yeah, she dies real quick. Mark gets a machete slammed in his face, and he falls down a flight of stairs after, he's the wheelchair guy.
Oh, I liked him.
Yeah, he's the only good one.
That's a terrible death, by the way.
He was getting seduced.
By one of the other girls who went to go put on brown underwear.
Oh, and since it smells bad down there.
Oh, yeah.
We gotta put perfume on it.
She sprayed perfume down there, and both Christine and I were like, oh, no.
Like, you taste that. You don't want, like, have you ever just walked into a perfume cloud by accident and it gets stuck in your mouth?
You ever been to a Macy's?
Listen, have you ever been in a middle school girl's Bath and Body Work infused locker room?
Yeah, dude.
Everybody's got their different scents and they all have to spray it at the same time.
And it's not just one spritz. Oh, no. It's a cloud. Because we don't have time to shower after gym.
No.
We never did. We had barely 5 minutes to change.
Yeah. So our showers were useless at school.
One good thing is that I never had to take a swimming class.
Same.
I would have been so mad.
And most of my gym classes were in the morning.
So mine were like midday.
Most of mine were in the morning. So to shower in the morning, and if I were to have a swim class right away in the morning,
I would have been mad.
Salty. Jeff and Sandra get the spear after they have their sexy times, which apparently during that scene, the guy who plays Jeff. Like, it was similar rigging as, like, Kevin Bacon's death, okay, where they had, like, the torsos and their heads were coming out of the thing. It was apparently very uncomfortable, and they're like, here, have some cocaine, essentially. And he's like, alright, and I was willing to do that scene as many times as it took then.
Oh my gosh! He was
uncomfy, and they're like, whoosh. And also the, actress who played Sandra and the chick that was seducing Wheelchair Boy, they're underage. They're 17.
What is going on in this movie? What is happening? What is happening?
Sketchy business that are happening outside of the law.
I don't like that at all.
Just a heads up there that there's some debauchery afoot.
Meanwhile, while all of this killing is happening, all bad deaths. By the way, we haven't said this, but the pretty special effects. Pretty much
everybody is now dead.
And the special effects are so shit.
Yeah.
They're so bad.
A lot of them are off screen or edited weird so that you don't get to see much of what's happening. And what you do see is not well put together.
Not at all. And meanwhile, at the bar, like, Ginny and Paul and Ted, she's talking about, like, she empathizes with
child psychology, so she's trying to, like,
reason why Jason would be doing what he's doing.
Right.
And while she doesn't agree with what he's doing, I think she empathizes for the reasons he's doing it.
Yeah. She's like, this kid is fucked up. If he did survive after drowning, he watched his mother get decapitated. Like, boy's fucked up.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, you actually, like, care for him? And she's like, no, I'm just saying that I would understand why he's doing what he's doing, not that I'm saying it's right. And they're like, okay, well, yeah, whatever. And then they all decide, well, actually, no.
Ted stays
behind. But the other two, Paul and Ginny, decide to go back.
Yes. And they start finding all the dead bodies.
Yeah, and they're like, where is everybody?
So Ginny is running throughout the camp, and she finds the shack, and she finds the altar.
Mommy.
Of mother.
Mommy.
And she gets a clever idea of being the child psychologist and having that huge monologue. She grabs mommy's sweater, and she gets herself to look like mom, and tries to play up being mom.
To get out of the situation she's in. It's very clever.
Yeah. And she's got a machete behind her. She's got mom's machete.
Pretty sure she does attack him.
Yeah, once Paul shows up.
Well, we thought Paul was dead, but Paul's not actually dead. Yeah. Because Paul got strangled or something. I don't know. You don't see anything in this movie. You literally see nothing, so you can't tell what's happening ever.
And so it's kind of working, and we see good old Mommy Voorhees, like, her layering and what Jason's seeing and whatnot. Paul shows up, kind of screws everything up. Ginny incapacitates him, and essentially this is where the dream sequence happens. So,
wait.
Yes. So, remember in one we had a dream sequence where she gets attacked by Jason in the lake?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Another dream sequence in two. Right after this, essentially, she passes out. So her and, like, Paul, Muffins, all that is
a dream. That's all a dream sequence!
All a dream sequence, and then jump scare, Jason shows up, but then, like, that's why we see her then all of a sudden on a stretcher screaming for Paul. Because she's having.
Why did did I not catch
the hallucinations? Because it's so disorienting. You don't know unless you, like, wash it a few times.
Yeah, Muffins died. I don't know why I was like, oh, yeah, this is fine. It wasn't fine. Why did I not catch that?
Literally, we just sped through the entirety of this plot. Because there isn't a plot.
Movie.
There is no plot.
There is absolutely no plot. This is such a bad movie.
On the plus side, we got 9 kills.
They're not even good, though.
I tried.
Like, I would be like, yeah, we got 9 good, gruesome kills out of it. No, none of those were good. None of them were gruesome. Probably the best part in this whole thing is when she pretends to be Mommy Dearest. Because at least it's clever.
Yeah. And it's different. Nobody else really tries that one with Jason.
God.
So, let's go into some fun facts. Let's just chat. Let's just have a good old chitty chat. So, yeah, our kill count is 9.
Yeah, I think we mentioned this in the first movie, but Adrienne King, who played Alice, OG Final Girl, did have a stalker after her first movie, so this, I think, is kind of her last movie credit until, I guess, she did some voiceover work.
Yeah.
About 15 years later, but, I mean, I completely understand. It's just... Yeah. This is all bad.
Okay, I mentioned the window scene already, didn't break. So... The burlap sack was kind of just a thrown-together thing, but also trying to, like, mimic a little bit the Town That Dreaded Sundown from 1976. Betsy Palmer agreed to do this only if, as long as it wasn't an inconvenience. So people went over to her house to record her lines and her saying her lines, and that took a day. And Alice's scenes only took 2 days. So... yeah, Tom Savini, Sean Cunningham, and Betsy Palmer all made very public remarks on how stupid it was that Jason was still alive, after, you know, confirming that he was dead in the first one, and it would have avoided all the murders. But, whatever.
I don't have any other fun facts. I have taglines,
though. I got a few more. All the actors stayed in the cabins on set. And they were playing pranks on each other, like, scratching at the screens and everything like that.
It probably was fun to film, I guess.
Yeah. And lastly, Jason was the original working title for this movie.
Why'd they change it?
Because Friday the 13th is already a known thing, and then probably to try and, like, surprise people that it's Jason killing people? That would be my only 2 guesses on that.
I mean,
at the time...
They literally tell you in the beginning it's Jason. Like, it's not like a mystery killer.
Well, no, they said, no, it's all fake. Like, he's not really alive and everything like that. I'm just saying...
I just gave Christy
in 1981, not having the other 11 movies with his face on it.
Mm-hmm.
Different era.
I guess. It's just...
I understand. I'm just saying...
It's not well written. It's just not a good movie.
I know. You want to give us the tagline?
Sure. 2 times the fear, 2 times the carnage, 2 times the terror. The body count continues. Just when you thought it was safe to go back to camp. And the day you count on for terror is not over.
The second to last one was pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
Let's grade this shit.
This is such a bad movie. Okay, so Christy and I have 5 questions that we grade on a scale of 1 to 10 for a possible score of 50 each, 100 total. It's just a way for us to rank our movies. Okay.
Was it a good horror movie?
I put a 3.
I put a 2.
Yeah, it's not good. I thought about a 2. I put a 3.
Acting?
5. So 3. The acting wasn't bad.
I still give it a 3 because some of it was bad.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the writing or the actors.
A little bit of both.
Yeah. How were the special effects?
4.
2.
Compelling story, interesting twists.
5, I mean, it's...
2.
Yeah, and then character development and writing.
2.
3.
So I have a 13.
I have an 18.
So that puts us at 31, which is in between Friday the 13th, the remake from 2009.
Oh, shit.
And Leprechaun from 93.
Leprechaun's a fun movie.
But that's why we put it above it.
Friday the 13th got some stinky.
Well, Friday the 13th 1 is, like, in the middle. Like, 1 was ranked at a 53.5. Okay. So, it got, like, yeah. I feel like 8 would bring it back. Up a little bit. Because I like 8.
Okay.
8's well, at least entertaining.
We have a long way to go still with this series. Like, I'm not writing it off. Look, this didn't hurt me as bad as Hellraiser 2. That destroyed me. Because at least Hellraiser 1 I really, really liked. Friday the 13th, the first movie, I wasn't in love with. But like I said, this is just, it's so much better than this movie. This is just shit.
Yeah. So our next movie theme.
It's just like, moving on from that pile of garbage.
Yeah. It is what it is.
We'll revisit this series again at some point. Just yeah. Not absolutely. Anytime soon.
Yeah. I have my opinions on my ranking and things of that nature.
I think we both agree out of the two that we've covered on the podcast, one is better than two.
Absolutely. I mean, it's reflected in the score.
Yes.
But I think 3 will follow suit with 2. 4 is kind of in the middle. 5 is kind of in the middle. 6, okay. I think I could do a quick rating. If I had to just do one off the top of my head, I'd say 1, 8, 4, 6, 5, 7, 9, 10, 3, 2.
Oh, 2 is really poopy.
Yeah.
Really gross.
That's my cold, like, ranking.
Okay.
As we go, I'm sure I'll rank it a little bit better.
Okay.
But I just recently watched all these movies again, so okay, I'm okay. Like, they're a little fresh. They're a little freshy.
I'm intrigued by 8.
8's just fun.
We'll have to, we'll get
And there's
it.
A humor aspect to it.
Okay.
There's some humor.
This movie took itself too seriously.
Oh, absolutely. Once you get to 4, then the humor starts coming through.
Okay.
4, they're not counselors anymore, but they are just sex-driven teens and whatnot, but we're following Tommy, and Tommy's pretty good. So Tommy is 4, 5, and 6. Telekinesis Girl is 7. Manhattan is 8. Evil Dead reference is 9, and then 10 is space.
Kind of excited for space and Manhattan.
You know, when you have the bar set so low at that point, 8, 9, and 10 are just kind of fun.
And that's why I appreciate a good bad movie.
Yeah.
This is not one of those. This is just bad.
Yeah. So our next theme, we're doing some psychos.
Yeah, so I believe we're doing my pick first, mm-hmm. which is literally Psycho, Alfred Hitchcock. I have yet to see this movie. I've known about the existence of this movie for a very, very long time. I remember learning in, like, oh gosh, I don't know, elementary, middle school, about the Hershey syrup being poured down the drain.
Yep.
But that's, and I know, I think the killer is Norman Bates. Like, I do know some things about this, but I've never seen it. Don't know that much about it.
And then the episode after that, we'll cover American Psycho.
Which I'm very excited about.
So, got some back-to-back psychotic guys.
Yes.
And then we'll figure out more themes. So, if you want to give us more themes.
Mm-hmm. Or movie recommendations.
Or movie recommendations, or let us know how we're doing, or
say hi.
Any other ideas you may have that we need to cover. We have a Facebook group, Facebook, Unnerved, a horror movie podcast, Twitter at Unnerved. You can also DM us over there because it's just easier for us to see it. If you like our artwork as much as we do.
Yeah, go check out my sister Danny at Danny Draws Dragons over on Instagram, or, go and listen to our episode on Annihilation, where she guest hosts with us.
Mm-hmm.
Good episode.
And if you want to see anything haunt-related, horror-related that I do, you can do my Instagram, Lilith_Hilltopple, at Instagram. Kelly and I just went to Midwest Haunters Convention. It was a grand old time. One of the pictures I posted was of one of our favorite, like, makeup looks
yeah.
that we had seen. Dude was on some stilts, and he was just like, this is my jam.
The makeup, it was just so cool.
10 out of 10. But yeah, we had a lot of fun, and we had a lot of good stuff. spent too much money?
Always.
Always. Because even after that, we went to the mall.
Well, you know us. I think I came home and I showed my husband and I was like, look at the things I bought. And he's like, you went to a convention for Haunters and you bought chocolate? And I'm like, yeah.
It's fudge. And there's alcohol in it.
He had one yesterday, so he can't even say anything.
I gave Dad his box of fudge.
I hope he likes it, but yes. It's very good.
Yes. But anyways, I think that's it for us. Kelly, do you have anything else that we're missing?
No.
Okay, stay safe.
Mm-hmm.
Stay spooky. I'm hungry. We need food.
Yeah.
And we'll see you guys in 2 weeks for Psycho.
Ooh.
Bye!